Hey everyone, welcome into another edition of the Woj Pod. This is one that I have been looking forward to for quite some time. Chet Holmgren of the 45-19 Oklahoma City Thunder, first place in the West, a game up on the defending champion Denver Nuggets. Chet, welcome in. Thanks for spending some time.
Thanks for having me.
Chet, 17 points, almost 8 rebounds, 2.5 blocks in your rookie season here. Your numbers, your rebounding numbers have really jumped as of late. Third in the league in blocks. And the Thunder's defense with your arrival this year goes from 14th to 5th in the league. We're going to talk about this season, but I want to, for a minute, if you would, rewind back to about a year ago. You had Lisfranc surgery on your foot in the offseason. You lost your first season in the NBA to just monotonous day after day rehab in the team practice facility. Describe, if you can, the loneliness of that process and how that gets you to where you are right now.
I mean, loneliness is a good word to describe somewhat of the situation. You definitely feel disconnected from the team, from a lot of your people. You're in a new city. Being it was my first year, I was in a new city, trying to get acclimated to everything. And on top of that, I'm not traveling with the team now. I'm not practicing with everybody. I'm not around the team the whole time. I got to go take doctor visits and have surgery and this and that. So, it was a lot of time spent on my own, just really trying to focus in on what I had to do to ultimately get back to, being able to help my teammates out there on the court. It was a lot of not fun days, but I knew what I had to do, and I feel like I executed it, as best as I possibly could to get back to where I am now.
Chet, you mentioned, sometimes the team's on the road and you've got the place largely to yourself. Sometimes they're at home and they're playing. But even when they're home, as cordial as guys are going to be, hey, Chet, how's it going? How you feeling? They're on to what their thing is that day, right? They're getting ready for a game. They're coming in to do treatment, whatever it is. Even though you're physically there with them, is it still feel like, you use the word disconnect, is that what you fight through?
Yeah, in a way, because there's disconnect just because you're physically not around them all the time, but also there's a type of camaraderie that you build when you're on the court playing with dudes, solving problems out there. You got their back, they got your back. And when you're not able to do that, you're not really able to build that chemistry with your guys. And it kind of takes what's on the court and it extends beyond the court as well with those guys. And I wasn't able to have that opportunity last year. And I'm extremely grateful to have that this year. And I really don't take it for granted.
Chet, what did you learn about the NBA sitting and watching for a year that actually helped when you finally were able to get on the court this year?
I learned a lot of things, beyond just on the basketball court. I was able to watch things up close, watch really good players. Day in, day out, game in, game out. I was able to work with our coaches who are, among the best at what they do. And I learned a lot from them. But I don't think last year and what I did off the court could prepare me for this season as much as being able to play would. I don't think anything kind of replaces game reps and getting to experience things live in game. But at the same time, I understood, I had time ahead of me and I had a lot of things that I needed to work on. And I feel like I took full advantage of the opportunities that I had in the circumstances that I was in. And I improved as much as I think I could have and got ready for this season. And that's going to continue throughout my career year after year. Obviously I have a lot more game film to go back and watch and improve on after this year, but it doesn't matter what circumstances you give me. I'm a figure it out to become a better player.
Chet, it was only February you became the first player in league history with over 150 blocks, 150 assists, and 100 plus threes in a season. You did that in only 57 games. Of all these numbers this year that you put up that have helped your team win, are you as proud as any as the fact that you have not missed a game this season? You have played every game.
Yeah, I mean, like I've missed so many games last year, and I had to sit at the end of the bench or behind the bench so many times last year. Like, I vowed to myself, like, if I can physically go out there and play, and you know, I don't want to go out there in a selfish way and be like, I'm going to play just so I can tell myself I played. If I can go out there and play, and I feel like I can help our team in any way to help us win, I'm going to go do that. You know, you can let me die out there or wheel me off the floor in a wheelchair, but, you know, I'm going to go out there and play if I can. And, you know, Lord knows there was probably a few games that I shouldn't have played this year that, you know, I still made it out there for. And, you know, I'm just extremely grateful for the opportunity to play, and I never take that for granted. So, you know, if I have the opportunity to play, it doesn't matter if it's game 32 of the season, game 7 of the finals, or I get to wake up and go play pickup in the summer. You know, I'm going to get up, put my shoes on, and do what I enjoy to do. And, you know, God willing, I'm able to do that for a long time.
Was it suggested to you by anybody in the organization, any of those stretches? Hey, Chet, let's look at the schedule this week. Tonight might be a good day to maybe take a rest day. Was that brought up with you at any time? And how'd you respond to that?
There was an instance where it was suggested to me, and you know, credit to our management and our coaching staff and our medical team. You know, they really see this as you know, a partnership and a collaboration, and they came to me and they gave me their point of view, and they listened to my point of view, and you know, at the end of the conversation, we were able to come to a conclusion, and both sides were able to kind of live with that conclusion. And I ended up going out and playing. So,
you know, Chet, for a player who was the number one player in his high school class, who was the number two pick in the draft, somehow you have managed, I think, to keep a chip on your shoulder that you're an underdog, that you're somebody that people have had doubts about, even though you have been, your stature, everyone's known about you in the basketball world from a pretty young age. And maybe it's because of your physical build. It's just different than what people have seen. I wonder, growing up and even all the way to opening night of the NBA, that because your body might look different than what people have seen and what people's definition of toughness is, because that's the word. There's two things that I've heard about you really since, whether it was in Minneapolis and then at Gonzaga and then coming into the league. Two things: basketball junkie and tough. And I wonder, just as you were growing up and you start building a reputation, but they see the size, they see you're thin, and they just think, well, we're going to muscle this guy. We're going to out physical him. We're going to be the guys tonight in this gym, wherever we are. We're going to expose Chet Holmgren. We're going to show people this guy's not that. And that you've kind of been facing that for a very long time, and you kind of earn some respect each step along the way. How have you, in your mind, kept sort of that underdog mentality that seems to drive you?
I mean, it's pretty easy. I mean, I have my own internal motivations and stuff, but outside of it, I mean, it's easy to feel like an underdog when you're labeled a bust before you ever play a game. You know, he'll never be able to do this, he'll never be able to do that. And I mean, it's pretty easy to feel like an underdog. But at the same time, you know, I've also been blessed in so many different aspects of life, where I might not necessarily be an underdog, but you know, I owe it to all the people who helped me get here, and you know, put in work alongside me to put in that work to go out there and be successful and you know, help do what they know I'm able to achieve. You know, people have helped me get to this point, and for me to not, you know, go out there and give it my all, which I do every night, you know, it'd be kind of disrespectful to them. So you know, I'd say it's kind of those two aspects and balancing them out. But yeah,
I'm trying to understand. So you heard the word bust because August 20th, 22, you're playing in Jamal Crawford's summer pro-am league. You fracture your foot. You're trying to, LeBron James of all people is coming at you to dunk. You break your foot in a landing there. A freak injury. Is that where that is that the first time you heard that word, or you heard that word associated with you because you were going to be out for that first season? Is that where it started?
I mean, first of all, look at the irony in that. You know, I mean, it's what people were going to say has happened, and it happened, and
yeah.
You know, life works in mysterious ways. But I mean, that was the first time in my life I'd ever had a real injury of any sort. Like, obviously, everybody's rolled their ankle playing basketball and stuff. But like, outside, I'd never missed. And even up to this point, since that injury, other than that injury, I've never missed more than like a week of basketball with any injury in my life, knock on wood, wherever it is. But like, I've been hearing, I mean, everybody's been saying it since, you know, I first came onto the basketball scene. You know, he's not going to be able to do it against somebody who's stronger than him, or he's not this, he's not that. This level is going to have this challenge for him. Like, it's just, you know, you hear it, but at the end of the day, like, you know, you write your own path. You know, what they say doesn't go, but you know, it's what I do, and what I go out there and make happen. So, you know, I know I got a long way to go and a lot of work to put in, but you know, what people say doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it's going to be, you know, what I do, what I make happen, and what we do as an organization and a team going forward. So
you did fall out of a tree though once, didn't you? Broke your wrist.
Yeah, I was a bit of a problem child until
that was the landing you're trying to, obviously.
But
how old were you on that one?
Even with that, I didn't miss basketball. I just had to switch to being a lefty for like a month.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand slams, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. The word I've seen you use, Chet, is talking about imagination, and that you've had a lot of imagination with your game. You have a unique skill set at a unique size, and you're putting up, you know, you showed people this year, you're blocking shots with two hands. You're playing, you know, obviously at the rim, passing the ball, shooting at almost 40%. I wonder, is it hard to sometimes have imagination when you're in a world where, and you talked about it, people are always trying to tell you what you aren't and what you can't do and who you're not going to play well against. And that if you listen to that, if you let that sort of seep in, that it sort of stunts imagination. Do you have to fight that?
I mean, 100%. You know, if your whole life growing up, all you ever know is everybody's telling you that you're this, you're going to believe that you're this. And I feel like nothing happens by accident. You're not going to accidentally just become something that you haven't imagined yourself becoming, you know, the whole process along the way. You have to imagine it and then really want that, and then figure out the steps that you got to put in place to become that and reach that point. And, you know, basketball is something that's fun to me. And, you know, I feel like imagination and fun kind of run together. And, you know, I'm just kind of imagining what I want to become as a basketball player. And then, you know, I just find any way I can to work on becoming that player. A lot of things, you know, are helped by natural talent, size, ability, whatever it might be. But at the end of the day, you know, there's a lot of people who are naturally blessed with those things, and they don't have the imagination or the work or the, you know, whatever it might be that really nurture those things into, you know, becoming what they, you know, what they could be. So that's just what I'm trying to do.
What do you imagine that maybe people haven't seen much of yet or any of yet? Are there elements to the game that you imagine you can become, do, that maybe we aren't seeing yet or seeing as much yet?
I mean, yeah, a lot. There's so much that I want to add to my game. And it's almost like, it's almost painful going through the season and not being able to work on everything that you want to work on because you're so focused on being prepared and healthy and not exhausted for games. So it's like I'm eager to work on so much more stuff, but at the same time, I also understand where the focus is at this moment in the season, which is games getting better, playoffs coming up. But like I could sit here and list off a whole list of things that I want to get better at, you know, from handling to posting to, you know, shooting off the dribble to, you know, even my, like, people always say, like, I'm shooting good from three, but it's like, you know, I feel like there's a whole nother level I got to get to when it comes to shooting the basketball. You know, I was at 90% on my free throws for probably the first quarter of the season, and then it dropped off. I got to get that back up. Like, there's so much that I want to work on that, you know, I have a long ways to go with, obviously, but like, I know like what the process takes to get those things to where they're, you know, not only a weapon in my arsenal, but also like efficient enough to where they are like a winning style of play, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And do you sense that it is harder to experiment when you're on a first place team versus if you were on a last place team in game, especially in games?
Definitely. One, the stakes definitely become higher. You know, there's an expectation to win every single night. And on top of that, you know, playing with dudes, like, we got some dudes on our team, you know, from Shea to Dub to Giddy. Kaysen just had a career high last night. Like, we got dudes, Wiggins, Lou, like, we got dudes all down the roster that can hoop, and, you know, they do things at a high level too. So it's a lot of win now mode. So there's some freedom out there to kind of work on your game and, you know, experiment a little bit, but there's also kind of a leash where it's like, you know, you have the leash, but, you know, at the end of the day, you have to be playing within the team, within a winning style of basketball. And, you know, the coaches do a great job of kind of exploring the length of that leash and kind of letting you explore your game a little bit. But, you know, at the same time, they know when to kind of pull on the leash and, Make sure that nobody's stepping outside of the team or anything. But, I wouldn't trade our position for anything, if that makes sense.
Chet, you get to play with one of the MVP front runners, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's having another monster season, who is, absolutely at the top of the list, I think everybody's mind to become an MVP in this league this year. What's it like playing with him, and how did he maybe help bring you into this group and make it seamless to add you in this season?
It was one thing to watch what he could do last year, but being on the court with him makes you appreciate the level of skill and ability that he has. And I mean, he's taken it up a notch this year too, from the threes to the steals, defense. Like, he's taken it up a whole nother notch this year. And it's amazing to come into the league with somebody like that on your team, not only to watch the on-court stuff and try and take different parts from his game, but also to watch the way he structures his life and the way he works, and be able to kind of follow suit in that too. The last thing you want to do is come into the league and have a bad vet where you're like, thinking like, this is how they got to where they are, and you know what I mean, now you're doing the wrong things. Like, that's not Shai at all. He everything down to a T within his life is structured to be, the best basketball player, best person he can be. So being able to try and kind of follow along in those steps is amazing coming into the league. And he did a great job of not only helping me kind of fit in seamlessly into this team, but everybody, Dub came in last year, his first year, took him under his wing, helped him out. I'm sure he did the same with Giddy his first year when he came in. And, he kind of does that with everybody. He's a great teammate. He's just, there's no hierarchy with us. We're just like, I don't remember who said it, but we're like an AAU team. We're just a bunch of kids hooping, having fun, figuring out life together. We just kind of treat each other like equals. And I feel like that's the best way to have a team and kind of build together.
Chet, teams usually who are your age or your experience are usually talking about, well, let's get in the playoffs. Let's see if we can win a round. Do you guys talk about winning a championship? Is that part of the conversation every day, that's what you're trying to do right now?
I wouldn't say it's a conversation every day, because we have so much to focus on today, tomorrow, the day after that, the day after that, before we can even like have that be a daily thought. I don't think it's a daily thought until you're basically there. And if it is, then you're probably skipping steps that you need to be figuring out in order to get there. But, being the first seed in the West, it's hard not to see that and think, we're not good enough to beat this team or that team or this team. We're definitely confident and feel like anytime we step on the floor, we can go out and win a game. And, I feel like that's the way it should be. And that's what's gotten us to the point that we're at right now. And, we're going to continue to do that. And, if we do that and work hard every single day on what we need to get better at, I feel like that leaves us in a good position, anytime we have a game.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Chet, July 11th, 2021, Latvia, FIBA Under-19 World Cup Championship game, United States and France. What do you remember about going into that game, whether you knew much about Victor Wembanyama or not, what that game was like and what started that day?
I mean, it was a high-level game. Not only was Victor and myself on the floor, but both teams had a lot of high-level players, and, you know, it was a high-level game. You know, I remember going down to the wire, and we were able to come away with the gold and take it back to the U.S. And I feel like that was just the start of, you know, many matchups for a long time. You know, I've said it before, I plan to play a long time, and, you know, I know he does too. So, you know, we'll be bumping into each other every time the Thunder and Spurs play for a while.
That's the thing. This has been San Antonio, Oklahoma City. You grew up with it. You saw it as a young kid, that rivalry. And, you know, really some of the legendary players' matchups that went off. And it's going to start again because you guys are already, you're ahead of them right now. Obviously, they're going to become very good again. Victor has been, you know, along with you, you two obviously are the two Rookie of the Year front runners. But you talk about imagination. Is it interesting to be connected with a player who you two, nobody's seen anything quite like you two? You're hard to compare. There's certainly elements of your game that might remind you of somebody, but individually, you are really unique players. Do you get a kick out of that, that you see the evolution of the game of basketball, and that for a lot of people, you two represent that? Do you sense that when you're on the floor and you're playing each other, and you've seen him go from a teenager to an NBA rookie, just like he's seen it with you? What's that all been like?
Ever since I picked up a basketball, you know, I'm thankful to have coaches who saw where the game of basketball was going, and it was leaning more in the direction of skill than and spacing and pace, and everybody on the floor has to be able to make decisions and play with the ball in their hands. And, you know, I feel like we're at a point where it's kind of at a pinnacle of where it's ever been before. You know, you see it all across the league. You know, it used to be where it's like big dudes post up and it's like you got to throw the ball into them. And now it's like we got big dudes all across the league who are handling, playing in pick and rolls, making reads, passing out of doubles, shooting threes. And, you know, I feel like that's where the game's going to continue to go. Everybody complains about defense, but it's like it's so hard to guard because you have to play everybody all over the floor. Everybody on the floor is a threat pretty much everywhere now. And, you know, that's the way the game's going, and that's the way the game should be going. You know, it's kind of the best evolution for the game. And, you know, I think, you know, it's only going to get better from here.
And you're right. I think people talk so much, and I think they're remembering a game that doesn't exist anymore, about strength and physicality. And it is a physical, it can be a physical game, but this is a league of skill right now. Is that your belief that skill will win out over, I mean, there was a guy who played in Oklahoma City before you, Kevin Durant, who's dominated the league and never, you know, he was supposed to be too skinny and he's got to bulk up and he hasn't had to do that, and he's dominated. Do you think it's just a perception that has been left in the rearview mirror about what really wins out in the NBA now?
I think at any point in the NBA's history, if somebody is talented enough, it's going to shine through. I mean, even when it was like a strength game, at the end of the day, the best players in the league were who? It was Michael, Kobe, T-Mac, like all the dudes that are – I mean, and then you got some outliers. You got Shaq in there who's just, you know, punking everybody. But it's like, for the most part, the best players in the league are the ones with the most skill. And that's because, you know, basketball is like, what, a pound and a half, 2 pounds, you know, like bench pressing – 400 pounds isn't, you know, helping you be a better shooter. You know what I mean? It just comes down to basketball is a game of skill. Obviously physical talent helps in a lot of areas. But you know, if you don't have talent, it's going to be tough to win in this league.
Chet, one thing I wanted to ask you about, I think you started this season. In these walk-off interviews that you guys do post-game, all of a sudden you watch the Thunder, and it's never one guy being interviewed. It is a group of players who are gathering around that player. How did that start with you? Why did that start? And did you think you were starting something with that?
It actually started in summer league, my first summer league, before I got hurt. My first game, I think I pulled Giddy into the interview. But it's just because, like, those interviews are awkward, man. Especially, you know, I love all my sideline reporters, but especially if you're getting, like, a couple bad questions, it's just, like, it can get awkward. So it's, like, when you have your buddies there, then you can kind of smirk and laugh and joke around. And that's really what it's turned into, you know. Now we'll have, like, five or six people in the interviews just, like, messing around. It's not even an interview at this point. It's just, like, I don't even know. It's just like TV time. Get your TV time. Smile right. For the, you know. And we even got it to the point where it's like now everybody on the team got to go bark to the camera. I guess I'll take credit for starting that too. But I mean, it's really just supposed to be fun. Again, basketball's fun. It's supposed to be fun. We're just having fun with it, enjoying it. You know, and we're lucky to be on a team where everybody really enjoys playing together and. You know, spending time together off the court as well. And that's kind of just an extension of that.
Well, you guys are headed into this stretch run, still in first place in the Western Conference, Chet. Appreciate you jumping in, joining the podcast. I know we will see you in the playoffs out west this season, but thanks again for taking the time out.
Sir, I appreciate you having me again.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Woj Pod. A big thank you to my guest today, Oklahoma City Thunder star Chet Holmgren. Be sure to listen to new and archived episodes of the Woj Pod wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to also listen to the Adam Schefter podcast with my good friend, Adam Schefter. We'll catch you next time.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.